So
no battery here.
Are we rolling?
We're rolling.
Should we talk real quickly, just run through how we started our day with our day party at the parish and how awesome it was?
Yeah, we can pat ourselves on the back, I think, on this one.
Every single act and song was just perfect. Starting with Colin Stetson. That was my first time to see him live, this incredible saxophonist. And I have to say, he took a while to get into it. It's like one big deep breath and then a low tone. And you're thinking, okay, man, where's this going? And
bass just, saxophone.
Yeah.
Yes.
Giant as big saxophone. As he is.
Yes. And he's a big dude.
Yeah, and he's huge. And it just slowly built and built and built and built and built. And then it sounded like five different people were playing at the same time.
Well, no loops, no pedals.
No loops,
back
no
at,
pedals.
Back
just
at NPR,
lung power.
Back at NPR headquarters, Jacob Gans, who's been editing the site, was like, you got to clarify. We're back home. He's got to be using loops and pedals. How is he doing it?
No.
And he's doing it through vein-bursting power.
Through intensive conditioning.
Circular breathing. So afterwards, we wanted to do an interview, and it was one of my jobs is to get everybody from an artist from the stage back. And where's Colin? Where's Colin? Tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. And I'm thinking, he doesn't know he's supposed to do it. Come to find out, he knew he had to do the interview. When he got off stage, he doubled over, and he had to just sit down and do nothing but breathe.
I believe it. Well, if you know,
and that was it. He said he needed like at least 5 minutes just before he could even speak to anybody.
And yet, the music itself was so, I mean, peaceful might not be the right word, but it was so
hypnotic.
Yeah, yeah. Hypnotic's a good word, I think. It
trance-inducing. It was very calming and transporting.
I loved watching the eyes of people while he played. Everyone was just enthralled.
I wish we'd had more time, but after him was Tune Yards. And what did you think, Bob? I remember you weren't sure.
I was apprehensive before I heard the record, less apprehensive when I heard the record, though I thought, how is Meryl going to pull this off? She's one person. She did bring a band.
Yeah.
And that was a great addition. I thought she was fabulous.
Yeah.
Her voice was super strong.
And the band, I mean, jazz musicians mostly from San Francisco, and they really were very fluid and playful. And, you know, the African influence is so intense in her music, but it doesn't feel put on. It doesn't feel pretentious. It's
I agree.
Really
I was sitting and watching, standing by the side of the stage, watching Kyra Arby, the next act up from Mali, watch Meryl and Tune Yards and sort of
was
swaying
there a
to it.
Was she enjoying it?
Which I didn't. Yeah, she was enjoying it. And what I didn't know until we talked to Tune Yards, until we talked to Meryl, was that she studied in Kenya. She's really, I mean, this is not like, it's African-esque.
This was, you know, not.
She's really deep into it.
That was one thing that stood out for me was I had worried that it was going to be sort of twee and affected.
Yeah.
You know, when someone walks out and their name is all this silly typography and they're brandishing a ukulele.
You're thinking wacky.
You're just thinking, oh, you are so twee, stop. but like you said, it's not an act. It's not affected. She's clearly studied. And you know, what jumped out to me was it felt like she was always making the most of whatever resources she had at her disposal. So she had a little ukulele, but she was looping.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, she has a bassist, and he's really bringing out...
Right.
Like, there was a full band sound when it was just her and a bassist. And then she has these saxophonists come in, and then all of a sudden...
Hey, guys.
Hey, yes. Did you see anything good?
I don't know. Y'all's conversation looked pretty awesome. Spare me. I'm sorry.
Okay. Welcome to Austin.
Yeah. It's St. Patrick's Day. Did we mention that?
Yeah.
The wearing
the double,
of the green
the double doozy,
beer.
Yeah.
One thing we didn't mention, I think, just in terms of all this stuff we're telling you about, it's all on the website, npr.org/sxsw. And then if you're getting the regular All Songs Considered podcast, which is where this podcast goes, the live concert podcast is where all the shows are going almost like within an hour after we do the shows.
Yeah.
So that's just a quickie, and then, of course, on the website.
So you mentioned Kyra Arby. She was amazing, too.
Oh, my gosh.
I watched, and that was funny because I watched the Antlers watching them, and the drummer for the Antlers, he was watching, and I saw him at one point trying to keep... With his hand, he was in the air. He was trying to count off just a simple 4-4 rhythm along with them. And you could tell he was struggling. He was, like, trying to figure out where the beat was with it.
Welcome to the world of polyrhythms.
Yeah, it was just all over the place. But amazing, amazing band.
And, you know, I heard that Colin Stetson was talking in French to them backstage.
Yeah, yeah.
He's played with them before,
yeah.
I've heard.
Yeah, so. In the Sway Machinery.
Yeah.
it was women power from Toon Yards and then Kyra Arby, who is a real force in Mali, someone who isn't in the tradition of that kind of singing, who wound up doing that kind of singing and becoming such a hero to women in Mali. And then after...
Wild Flag.
Yeah.
I thought they killed it. Yeah. I really thought they did.
Yeah.
I mean, it should be noted that we are not...
unbiased.
We are not unbiased in the field of Carrie Brownstein and her new supergroup Wild Flag,
which is
her and member and Janet Weiss, also from Sleater-Kinney and many other bands, member of the Minders and
Rebecca Cole.
Thank you.
And Mary Timoney.
Mary
from
Timoney
Helium.
From Helium. Yeah.
Yeah. Carrie was speaking with us afterwards, and she mentioned that Mary comes from a more prog background, which I thought was an interesting view of Helium. But they are more art rock. And
definitely
of course, Sleater-Kinney were the greatest riot girl feminist punk band ever. And
I thought they found a nice middle ground with their sort of sonic sensibilities, the way they came together. It made the music just a little more accessible, I thought,
yeah.
A little more tuneful, and but yet at the same time, some wonderful noise. I was really knocked out.
And they were super fun to watch too,
yeah.
Jumping all over there with the guitars.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Carrie showed us her bloody thumb afterwards.
Yeah.
She had cut her thumb. I have a picture of it on my phone. Maybe we'll get it up on the website.
Here's how much the artist gave. First of all, so we had Colin Stetson, who nearly blacked out. Carrie, who tore her thumb up. It was so gross.
She was bleeding profusely.
I also heard that...
This is the topper.
And then Ritchie Bryan, after her set, got sick.
Joy Formidable
got sick and tossed her cookies in
But was a trooper and came over and talked to us.
I know, yeah. Amazing.
Really, is that what she was tending to backstage?
Yeah, and she's like, you know, cleaning up. Was like,
she came on and said, I'm really glad this is radio because I'm a little peaked. You know, a little white face.
And then she saw the camera.
And then the camera's like, turned up the light.
I thought they were amazing, too. She's just this tiny little thing, and what a force on the stage.
I didn't think she was so tiny when I was watching her.
I was so surprised
when she came over and talked to us. It was like, all of a sudden, she deflated or something.
Yeah, I felt like Wild Flag and the Joy Formidable back-to-back was just this incredible statement. Just these two unbelievably energetic, incredibly fun bands. I mean, that was what jumped out to me about Wild Flag was how much fun they were having. And also, how many drummers are better than Janet Weiss?
None.
Oh, man.
Because Janet Weiss is so unbelievably great.
She's melodic. She's an incredibly melodic drummer and power. She's got a lot of power. Producer Mike Katzef, who was with us there, he and I were talking about it during the set. We were just like looking at each other. Just, you know, in awe of what she was doing.
Anyway, so Wild Flag was really amazing. Joy Formidable, I thought, a signature set for them, even though it was short. And then, of course, there was the beauty of the Antlers debuting their new album, which Bob, I feel you should take the floor on this one.
But my eyes are going. My eyes are just going to roll in the back of my head again. No, they really killed it. I think that the arrangements were so beautiful. They're beautiful pulse. I described it as waves.
Exactly.
And that's just what their music is.
And Peter Silberman's voice, I just think is just so strong now. It's just, you can really hear how it's developed in the last couple of years.
And they had a trumpet player who they didn't know how they were going to pull it off. One of the reasons their hesitation whether they were going to actually be able to pull off the whole album is they wanted to do these trumpet parts. And they found a trumpeter who they knew who was in Austin, came out and did that. They had a new guitar player in the band. It was a lot of bravery up on stage to pull off a whole new album live in front of not just an audience, but an audience that's out there in radio land, TV land, so to speak, you know, web.
Yeah, it's interesting with them. What's great about their records is something they really captured on stage, which is this mixture of grace and intensity. So it's very delicate and it's very beautiful, but it's very, very big and very powerful at the same time.
Very
and
I thought that expansive,
I thought that really came through. So they played their entire new album Burst Apart in its entirety, not out until May.
Yeah,
that was awesome. And then we all went home and took a disco nap, and then we went out.
We did.
I took no such nap.
I never got my nap.
You're such a dog.
Yeah. I have to full disclosure to Bob before he got here. I was telling Steve, and I said, Bob's ability to go and go, it's almost annoying. How does he do it? How does he go and go and go and go and go? And I just, you know, like, I'm just creaking and, you know, and
I said,
you know,
I said he just, almost annoying.
I went back to my hotel room and made my schedule 11, in emulation 12. Of Bob.
Yeah.
I was trying to...
I think I saw 14 bands after the show.
After
the show.
Wow.
So I saw 10, and I ran into Bob at some point, and he told me how many he'd already seen at that point, and I thought, I'm just going to give up trying. I'm just going to... I'll go see the ones I want to see. I cannot keep up with this man.
I'm a wimp. I only saw 5. But they were all great, and I want to talk at length about every single one.
This is the most obsequious podcast we've ever done. Here's a lineup of greatness.
I'm going to keep mine really short, because instead of going through all mine, I'm just going to tell you 2 things that I saw. First of all, I have to mention Letting Up. Despite Great Falls, this band has been around since like 5-6 years ago. Always wanted to see, love that group.
The band is called Letting Up.
Despite Great Falls.
Never heard of
them.
What's your name?
They're an LA group. They're sort of shoegazy electro pop, and I was just so thrilled to get to see them. Saw Ham Sandwich.
Oh, I wanted to see Ham Sandwich.
Saw Ham Sandwich, and that band is this Irish group. They're just all over the place. It's sort of, at times they sort of sound like My Bloody Valentine or Smashing Pumpkins, and then they sound sort of folky and jiggy, and it's
cabaret-like.
But for a band called Ham Sandwich, way better than you would expect them to be. You'd think with a name like that, they're sort of ironic, and they're always winking to the audience or something, and they're not. They're just a great, great band.
Ham Sandwiches are serious, man.
Ham Sandwich.
That's right.
And then I'll just say, we saw Agalloch on the metal.
I saw them too.
You were there?
I was at Agalloch, and I had the same reaction I did to the album, which is if they didn't sing, they would be so unbelievably. The vocals are
kind of frightening.
Are frightening as Bob once likened it to Linda Blair in The Exorcist.
Yes.
Those vocals, but the music was so
intense,
awesome.
Absolutely intense music.
And then lastly, I'll just say that I saw Astra. This group from Toronto, they are sort of a Canadian version of The Knife, but with more members, but it's that sort of dark techno, slick electronic music. By far the best show I've seen so far.
They were terrific.
Just the stage presence. They had these two women who were singing on either side of the lead singer, and they had the synchronized dancing that they were doing, and they just were so tripped out.
It was The Knife on pop.
It was. The Knife, maybe not quite as dark as The Knife gets, but
that's where the pop is.
Trippy.
Yeah.
Definitely trippy.
Excellent. That's
so amazing. So, Anne, what was all so great?
First, I saw Rusty Willoughby and Rachel Flotard have a collaboration. She's the top from Visqueen. And Rusty Willoughby from Flop and Pure Joy, these two Seattle musicians doing a kind of a country pop thing called Cobirds Unite at the No Depression Showcase. Then I saw this, I don't know what to say about this guy. I was amazed by Alan Stone. Have any of you heard of Alan Stone?
We work with him.
We know an Alan Stone.
Yeah.
We're
all like, really?
He gives
Alan.
I know he played. He played guitar and he gives tours in the building.
Oh, not that Alan Stone. This is one of those South by Southwest stories. A friend of a friend told me about this guy. Okay, looks kind of like Weird Al. Mm-hmm. Sings kind of like Al Green. Really unexpected. Like the seriously nerdiest, most amazing blue-eyed soul singer I have seen in ages. Wow. He played a little club on 6th Street, unofficial, started out empty, ended up packed with sweaty, dancing, mixed race audience going crazy for this guy. And you know who his band was? Rafael Sadiq's band.
Yeah.
No.
So that was my highlight.
Awesome. Nice.
But,
wow. Yeah, so that was really great. But I also popped over to see one of my other favorite Northwest bands, The Lonely Forest, who I know have been featured
very good band.
On Song of the Day before. And they have a wonderful new record coming out, produced by Chris Walla. And then I saw Theophilus London do a little hip-hop stuff. I saw The Nux, a hip-hop group from L.A. who totally took it into the Bad Brains territory with a kind of a black rock power thing. It was a good night. It turned out to be all right.
I love the variety in all this. Keep going, Stephen.
Well, I just have to say, just listening to you, it reminds me of this thought I had as I was walking around. It's like there are so many little worlds going on at the same time.
Yeah. Totally true.
And this, you know, anywhere you plant yourself, you're going to have this totally different experience. And there's it's like these little villages all within this town.
Yeah. Well, and I tried to visit as many of those villages as I could since the last time we recorded a podcast, which includes several shows I saw last night. Went Hip Hop with Big Crit, who I really liked. Then, mostly in defiance of Bob, I went back and caught a little bit of Duran Duran's set.
I'm so glad that you've become the target of this and instead of me.
I'm glad to be.
My plan was I'm going to strut in and I'm going to hear them play me one hit. And I'm gonna wait until they play a hit, and then I'm gonna watch it, and then I'm gonna leave. So first song, kind of a minor hit.
We have a 30-second limit on Duran Duran conversation.
I'll do this really quickly. Second song, new song. Everyone. It's like all of a sudden rush for the porta potties. Finally, Wild Boys.
Yeah.
And I was like, there I was. One song.
Bob
has no idea what you're talking about.
I'm not. I just have to say, I don't have to say.
No.
All right. So I almost saw Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark tonight, but
that would be better than
I opted for a little hip hop instead.
But I saw Jay Maskus from Dinosaur Jr. Just him and a guitar,
flowing locks.
His flowing gray locks, still unbelievably loud.
Here's why I didn't go.
Piercingly loud.
I thought of going, and that's why I didn't go. It's like I don't think my ears could take it.
Know,
and he
sure
stands
is.
In front of those amps
yeah.
like
yeah.
that.
I tweeted at the time, like,
well, it doesn't bother him. He can't hear anything anymore.
I tweeted at the time, like, this guy is one of the biggest mass deafeners.
Oh,
yeah. All of
he's deafened me once or twice.
Saw Noah and the Whale, a band that...
Did you like them?
Well, I love their first...
Bob's being sarcastic because
actually, I wasn't because I know that you were disappointed by the new record.
I'm very disappointed by the new record. Yeah. I love the first two records, crazily, crazily much. I didn't think Stubbs was the right venue for them.
Yeah.
A total discovery, Brazilian rock band called Holger.
Holger.
Which sounds more
German.
More like I might have seen them.
Opening for Agalloch.
I was going to say, it sounds like you might have seen them with Agalloch. Seriously, the drummer, just the drummer, would have made a perfectly good band.
Wow.
Well, I closed out the night with a rapper named Yellow Wolf.
Is it over?
Oh, I love him. He's my homie.
I wanted to see Yellow Wolf.
Is the night over?
I saw Yellow Wolf right before I headed over here.
Did he show his tats?
Yes. He got completely shirtless and showcased his, like, body sleeve.
Yeah. He's a skinny guy.
Skinny guy with a lot of tattoos. I will say I had the same reaction to him live that I tend to have with his records where his flow is just unbelievable.
Yeah.
I wish he had a little bit more to say.
Yeah, I hear you. I think he's gonna grow. I feel
there
it.
You are. We're just being so obsequious. Who did we hate?
I know. I don't know who
I will say I reached a point with a band I like called Lord Huron.
You got into that?
I got into that.
Yeah, we tried.
And they opened with the song of theirs that I knew, and I liked it, and I found by the end that it just started to feel like a composite sketch of every vaguely polyrhythmic indie rock band that I've seen, of which I've already feel like I've seen 12. So
it's interesting that you keep asking who do we hate, because I guess
I didn't
hate
Lord Huron.
I guess I'm seeking out stuff that I anticipate that I'll like, and maybe tomorrow night we should add to our list, go see something you think you'll hate. Bob, I think Duran Duran are playing an acoustic set.
Yeah, let me know how that goes.
No, but it might be.
Well, I went to Agalloch. I don't hate Agalloch. I thought the record was fascinating, but that was the one that I knew would be my challenge. And I saw Robin there, and you were there too.
I was there too, and Mike.
And so was Mike.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I will, and like I said.
You hear that, Lars? We all win.
But the songs, when they were just instrumentals.
Yep.
I thought were really remarkably great. Is that your recording of it?
I can feel the power. What time was that, you guys, that you were all Aguilar?
That blew my speaker, my mic out.
11 o'clock.
Well, I'm with Robin on Ostro as a total highlight tonight.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But the only act that I had seen before that I went to see again was Adam Akaraji, who, you know, is a pet of mine. And he had a...
literally keep him on a leash in a box.
Adam, I'm sorry, man. I let the secret out. So He had a seven-piece band, and they absolutely killed it. They were unbelievable, spiritual, gospel-y music that had everybody. And the place was packed. People knew the songs.
Wow.
I was so thrilled to see that. Because the last time I saw him, it was sort of not that many people there. It was a good show. This was uplifting. It was the best music I heard all night.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely the best music I heard all night.
So I have to say, we've been coming here for several years now, and the skank situation has not gotten any better.
Excuse me?
What ends right here?
Oh, jeez.
Should I say trollop instead? It hasn't gotten any better. In fact, if anything, it's gotten worse.
There were several points at which you could play Carrie Brownstein's trademark game, Is That a Skirt or a Belt?
Yeah.
But you know,
seriously.
Okay, I just have to say the boy trollop factor is very heavy, too.
The brawlop factor? The
brawlop.
The trollop and brawlop.
It's very intense. In fact, that was my low point early on when I was trying to get into a show I couldn't get into. I ended up in a taco line with a bunch of St. Patrick's Day revelers. It was quite disturbing. Lots of skirt belts, lots of brawlops. I had to wait 20 minutes for my taco.
Sorry, Bob, you have to indulge us in this discussion, but I have to say, that reminds me as we were walking down the street.
So let me tell you about the groups I saw.
All right, I'll show you this amazing video I took. I'm walking down the street and I see these weird-looking guys on stilts towering over everybody, and then I hear the most amazing marching band I've ever heard in my life.
Whoa.
And
you're from Kansas.
So I kind of push through the crowd, and I see, and these guys, it's just this huge marching band, all wearing matching uniforms, and this sort of circus performers kind of going around them at the same time, and they all were dressed like these goth, like terror, like something out of Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome if they'd had a marching band in Mad Max movie. It was like that. I shot a video. I don't know if the audio is going to come out. I don't know. They just appear. But see, look, they've got these studded vests with like metal studs on them and
skull and crossbones,
and then the feathered marching band hats.
They look like a biker marching band.
Can you hear the whistle blowing?
Yeah, totally.
It was amazing. It was just amazing.
I bet that's from Portland, Oregon.
I don't know, but that was definitely. I can't believe I forgot to mention.
Dear,
that. Huge,
all songs considered.
Huge, huge.
We thought you liked Portland.
Huge highlight of my night.
This is, you know.
Yeah.
See, if we hadn't started talking about trollops, I never would have gotten to the marching band.
You started talking about trollops, P.S.
Thanks, Ian.
I feel like we've become helplessly unhinged. It should be noted, for the benefit of anyone for some reason still listening, that we are recording this currently at 2:41 in the morning.
Oh, wow, that got
magic. Magic Bullet band. I heard their name, but hadn't heard a lick of them. I stumbled into them. Absolutely loved it. It was like a taller David Byrne. Really humorous, great, wonderful music. So Magic Bullet.
Magic Bullet.
Theophilus London, I did mention I saw him. One thing that he did that I thought was hilarious was at the end of his set, he actually had his hype man throw money into the crowd. I've never seen that before. Actual money.
Wow.
Dollar bills.
Wow.
At least 20 of them.
Wow. And were people just like killing each other and scrambling over one another?
They were like, woo! I'm going to go buy me a taco in the midst of a bunch of brawlops.
I'm getting hungry. Maybe we should pack it in.
All right.
See if there's anything else to go see tonight.
All right.
I have to say, now I'm suddenly awake. I was so tired. Now I'm like, oh, wow, is it really almost 3?
I'm going to go see my bed.
Bob's thinking he's got to actually cut this thing before he goes to bed, so we should wrap it up.
Yeah. It's been big fun.
Good luck with that, Bob.
Amazing day.
Yeah. Really great day.
And a great night, too.
Great.
And two more to come.
That's good. Should I record this?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. The joke gets kind of old.